Well, now we come to the flower communion ritual itself, and it's a very simple ritual in which each of you has been invited to bring a flower to the service, place it in a vase along with others that have brought it, and then we'll have a processional, select a flower that is different than the one that you brought. So in this ritual, we are called, first of all, to observe and to pay attention to the flower that we have chosen. In the words for the lighting of our chalice this morning, also words that we sung from Robert Frost, he calls us to pay attention to the flowers of the spring, who give us pleasure in the flowers today, and give us not to think so far away as the uncertain harvest. Keep us here, all simply in the springing of the year. And then one step further, we are called to see ourselves like flowers, as fragile, fragrant, and holy forms of life that have sprung from the earth and that have arisen out of the deep mystery of being, and which, as individual beings, are here upon this earth for a short time to care, to love, to serve, and to be a witness to the beauty of things, such as the simple beauty of flowers in the spring. At the beginning of this service, I mentioned that this year marks the 100th anniversary of this flower communion service. It was the first flower communion service was held on June 4, 1923, in the beautiful city of Prague, the capital of what is now the Czech Republic in Eastern Europe. And this ritual was originated by someone called the Reverend Norbert Chopik. And it was originated one day after his 53rd birthday, as he was born in southern Bohemia on June 3, 1870. His life story is most interesting, and I'm going to give it to you in very short compass. He was the offspring, Norbert Chopik was the offspring of a Roman Catholic mother and an agnostic father, who in his late teens became a Baptist and then a Baptist minister, and he founded nearly a dozen Baptist churches from Ukraine to Budapest. However, as a traveling Baptist evangelist, he came under the influence of free Christianity, becoming increasingly liberal and anti-clerical in his theological positions, and his writings attracted, quote, unfavorable attention from the German authorities, and in 1914, he and his wife, Marie, and their 8 children fled the United States. In the United States, Chopik became editor of a Czech language newspaper and served as the pastor of the first Slovak Baptist church in Newark, New Jersey. Also, shortly after his arrival, his wife, Marie, died. And then a few years later, in 1917, he married another Czech expatriate by the name of Maja Oktavec. And Maja later became a Unitarian minister, and it was she, actually, who brought the flower communion ceremony to the Unitarian Church in Cambridge, Massachusetts in 1940. I've jumped a little ahead of the story here. So now going back to 1919, Reverend Chopik resigned as a Baptist minister. He had faced 2 heresy trials in the U.S. by Slovak Baptist ministers who wanted him expelled because of his increasingly liberal religious positions. Then the two of them, Norbert and Maja, discovered Unitarianism through their children. Their children attended a number of different congregations, and they took their children's advice and went to one of them and joined the First Unitarian Church of Essex County in Orange, New Jersey. And then in 1921, together they decided to return to Prague, which had loosened up at that time, to start a Unitarian congregation there, which was called the Prague Liberal Religious Fellowship, which in just 20 years grew to a membership of 3,200 members. It was the largest Unitarian church on the earth, perhaps in the universe. And now, quickly about the origin of that first flower communion ceremony on June 1923. The early worship services of Chopic generally consisted of lectures. The minister wore no robes or vestments. The congregation dispensed with elaborate rituals, the singing of hymns, ornate decoration, and formal or prescribed prayers. And some members at that point felt that the congregation lacked a spiritual dimension. And so in response, in June of 1923, Chopic created the Flower Celebration or the Flower Festival, also known then as the Flower Communion, where each member of the congregation would bring a flower to the church. It'd be placed in a large central vase, I guess, and then at the end of the service, each person would take a different flower home with them, and that symbolized the uniqueness of each individual and the coming together in communion to share this uniqueness. And then finally completing the story of Norbeck and Maya Chopic, and now it moves to a more difficult stage here. Although Chopic was invited to return to the United States during, this was during World War II, he was invited to return to the United States, but he chose to remain in Europe to work with his congregation. Maya, however, in 1939, went to the U.S. to raise funds for relief efforts for Czechoslovakia. She stayed there. She served as minister in the North Unitarian Church in New Bedford, Massachusetts from 1940 to 1943. In March 1941, Chopic was arrested by the Gestapo. His books and sermons were confiscated. He was charged with listening to foreign broadcasts, which was a capital crime. He was sent to a prison and from there to Dachau concentration camp, where he was imprisoned in what was called the Priester Block, which was the barracks for incarcerated clergy who had opposed the Nazi regime of Adolf Hitler. And there he was tortured and executed in late 1942. He was 72 years old at that time. Two footnotes. Even under the conditions of starvation and torture in the Dachau concentration camp, Chopic, quote, held a flower ceremony with the fellow prisoners, finding whatever flowers they could among the weeds of the camp. They, Chopic and the prisoners, testified to a beauty larger than themselves and a love that would outlive them. Footnote number two. The congregation that Norbeck and Maya Chopic began, that they built in Prague, was decimated by both World War II and the communist takeover after World War II, the communist takeover of Czechoslovakia. The congregation that they built, though much smaller, still exists. Flossie and I visited it, actually, in the summer of 2003, spoke to the minister there, and we were with the Houston choir that was singing there. Any rate, but that flower communion that they started still goes on in many places, including here, the Skagit Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. So returning now to our enactment of this flower ceremony, and perhaps with a deeper sense of the honor and hardship of being human, when Chopic would lead this ceremony, he would offer a prayer for the consecration of the flowers that were brought to the service. And so before we begin coming forward to select a flower from these vases, let us join together in reciting Chopic's prayer for the consecration of the flowers. And George, okay, we have that up. I hope you can read that. But if you would please then join me saying in unison together, Infinite Spirit of Life, we ask thy blessing on these, thy messengers of fellowship of love. May they remind us amid diversities of knowledge and of gifts to be one in desire and affection and devotion to thy holy will. May they also remind us of the value of comradeship, of doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of thy most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us, or sully our relationship, but may we realize that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are needed to do thy work in this world. Amen.